It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning.
We've got it all covered for you right here.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
A tomato or a barbecue sauce?
Look, I hate barbecue sauce.
Too sweet?
It's the most rank thing.
Is it?
This
I'm a spicy red meat.
It's Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Doing all the extra work this final series.
If your car is carrying an extra load, like towing a boat or caravan,
book a Petters brakes, steering and suspension check for just $28.
Yes, welcome to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. I tell you what, it's a grey old, windy, squally morning in Melbourne town this morning. But if you are a Melbourne fan, I reckon you've already watched the replay this morning, because what a victory, 33-point winners over Hawthorn in the semi-final. We are going to go over that, break it down, carve up Melbourne's premiership chances like you've never heard before. As I say good morning to my great mate, the 287-game, two-time All-Australian, all-round good guy, St Kilda great, of course, Lee Montagna. Good morning to you, Joey.
Morning, Jay. Good morning to all the Melbourne supporters that are listening, that are just floating on air this morning. They don't care that it's dreary and cold and wet. They are happy as Larry, and so they should be. It was another dominant performance by the D's last night, and they are starting to be the Richmond of 2017, the Bulldogs of 2016. There is just this adrenaline, this wave of emotion at the moment that they're riding that could take them all the way to the promised land.
The fairy tale factor, I like it. The Bulldogs did it, the Tigers did it. Could it be Melbourne's year? Is it their September? They were so impressive last night. We're going to talk about all the big moments in that match, a little under 10 minutes time. I want to say good morning to you, Rosie. You add some class and skill to our show. How are you this morning?
Pretty good, thanks.
Yeah? Did you watch the footy last night, Rosie?
No, I didn't. I went to bed very early.
Really?
I haven't been great this week, so I needed to be tip-top for today.
So where did you go to? The chicken soup? The sort of the...
I've tried everything.
The Hydrolite?
I've even gone to Telfast for some... relief from hay fever. Oh. I've tried everything. I've taken everything that I can.
You look great this morning. So you're clearly
you're
on
lying,
the way
but thank you.
Joey, we're going to talk all of footy in a few minutes' time, but you're going to the races today. I look outside and I think you're a madman. What's on the cards today?
Well, I do the races the mature way now. I'm now 34 and got a wife and a son. So I'm doing the members dining, having lunch behind the glass. The new members opens today at Flemington.
Yep.
Been invited by a mate of mine who's got a horse running today. Mm-hmm. Had a couple of spare tickets, so it was too good an opportunity to knock back. So I'm straight out of here, going to put the suit on and head out to Flemington Racecourse. Can't wait. A couple of good mates and hopefully back a few winners.
Are they... You were still wearing the same bag of fruit from a couple of years ago. Have you had to sort of get a...
You know what? I had to do that. Like, no, I actually bought myself one. The suit doesn't quite fit anymore. During the year, it's amazing. I'll tell you what, the shirts, because I am putting on a little bit of pudding around the stomach, the shirts are all getting quite tighter. So I do need a brand new shirt. Rosie, stop laughing. I know we talk about my weight a bit, but that's where it comes in, is when you need a shirt that, all of a sudden they're a bit tighter.
You used to have this magnificent V-shape, Joey, fair to say. It's a bit more of a straighter line. But I'll tell you what...
Erin did that, by the way. Sorry, I got last night. Erin saw my stomach and made it because she sort of went, oh. And I was like, Erin, you can't do that. But she goes, but I've just never used to seeing you like this. And I said, Erin, I'm never going to have my football body ever again. That's gone for good. So just get used to it. I've now got a dad bod.
Maybe,
and I'm proud of it.
Maybe you've had too much, what do you call it, Joey? Too much.
Sugar.
Have you got it there, Rosie?
Sugar.
Sorry.
Sugar.
There it is. We do give each other a fair bit, Joe, but it's fair to say you have been on fire with your race tips. All my mates have ploughed in. You've had two winners in a row, and what about 11:40? You're going to have another crack at another winner for the Montagna hat trick.
I don't want to brag, but I have been tipping winners like you wouldn't believe. I'm on fire. Mossendale got up last week, paid $6.50. I tipped a $6 winner the week before, and I've been on the phones all last night, all this morning, and I've got another winner for us that I'm going to give it later in the show.
I can't wait. It's a must listen in about 11:40. Joey Montagna, can he pull off his third straight winner? We have a massive show for you today, folks. We're going to speak to the Melbourne hard nut, Alex Neil Bullen, in about 20 minutes' time. What did Simon Goodwin say to his troops in the moment? moments after last night's stirring victory. Jason Richardson, speaking of winners, Joey, this man pulls out four or five a day. We're going to get the good oil from Richo and Wayne Carey, the duck. He's normally running the tan about 8 or 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. With these wet conditions, I just wonder what he did with his physical training regime. He would have been up to something, Joey.
And I want to ask the duck, does he think Collingwood can win? I know he's a big Collingwood fan.
Yep.
I know he really likes the way the Pies go about their footy, but
yep.
I want to see if he thinks they can beat the Giants, because I might have a different view.
Well, the Collingwood forwards were pretty poor, it must be said, last weekend in Perth. They got a lift today against the Giants. As we said, we had an absolutely massive show. Next, Joey, I want to speak about the D's. Can they win this year's premiership? What a story it would be.
We're at the Triple MCG, and the Hawks take on the Demons.
Handball into the goal square, goal coming up for the Demons. And that is real nice footing from the Demons.
Won a massive contest there. He's had his pocket pick. It spills to ground level. Spargo can pick it up. Handball to Neil Bullen. And the D's are going to get one straight back. Alex Neil Bullen gets it.
Have a listen to the MCG.
Melksham runs onto it. Picks it up. Left foot shot from 50. Jakey Melksham. Oh, what a goal.
Melbourne fans, book your tickets to Perth. You're on the way to a prelim.
I love it. The Triple M Friday Night Boys called the socks off last night's Melbourne win, as always. And what a victory it was, Joey. You see last night's win, 33-point victory over Hawthorn. And you have to wonder, with all this momentum that Melbourne has at the moment and clearly the spirit and camaraderie they take into each game, can they go all the way, Joey?
Absolutely. They can get to a grand final. I think they will. I think they'll beat the West Coast Eagles. That West Coast Collingwood game, for mine, even though it was the closest of the four games, was probably the least impressive in terms of the skill level and the quality of that game. So I think Melbourne will go over there and beat the West Coast Eagles. And then, you know, it looks like they'll play Richmond in a grand final. And once you're in a grand final, then it's just, you know, let it all hang out and see how it comes up. So the D's get to a grand final, and then they just got to take on Richmond.
You played as part of a one of the best midfield units of your era, say with Del Santo, Hayes, etc. What do you see when you look at Brayshaw, Viney, Oliver, etc.? I mean, it was so hard to believe that Jack Viney was last night in his second game back from a serious foot injury. Not only the hardness, but the speed he showed in the shoebox was unbelievable. But you look at the nucleus of that midfield, and you think they've got 7 or 8 very good years ahead of them.
Oh, absolutely they do. The first thing that springs to mind is how tough and ruthless they are. As you just said, Viney, Oliver, Brayshaw, Harms in there as well. They are just tough. But more than tough, they're talented as well. Viney's a very, very good player. Brayshaw's now become a terrific player. We know about Oliver. And James Harms, the most improved player in the competition, led by the best ruckman in the comp. So having that nucleus there, they remind me a bit of that Brisbane Lions team in the early 2000s. You know, like Oliver's got a bit of similarities to Michael Voss.
And doesn't he?
The way
good
they
call.
All play. I think they can go a long way, the D's. I love how ruthless and tough they are. They move the ball quick. They play very similar style to Richmond. So it's no frills. It's kick the ball long, surge it forward, win your one-on-ones.
Yep.
That's the key.
Yep.
The style of play where you just kick the ball to a contest.
Yep.
Relies on you winning your one-on-ones. And if you look forward to the footy, Tom McDonald can win his one-on-ones. Jake Melksham wins his one-on-ones, wins ground ball. Petrarca can win his one-on-ones. So they've got the right style of football, very similar to Richmond, and I think they'll be playing the Tigers in the granny.
And what we saw is a maturity from Melbourne, because last night in that first half, they didn't have it all their way. Hawthorn was up to this one in their eyeballs. They were getting some traction with that uncontested kicking, probably just weren't converting in the forward half. And then so they were seriously challenged. And then Jack Gunn has that shot, what was it, midway through the last quarter, hits the post from 20 metres out. If he kicked that, the lead would have been cut to 10 points or whatever. And you looked at Melbourne at that point and you thought, are they going to stumble? Are they going to panic? Are they going to get the jitters?
Yeah, and that's a sign of maturity, as you touched on, because when you're playing another good team, you're not going to get the game your own way for the whole time. You're going to have the opposition are going to have a period of play where they are dominating. And there are other periods where the Hawks kept the ball in their front half and they were surging, but the D's defenders, Neville Jetta, Hibbard, Frost, they all held up. And that is the sign of a good team, because you're not going to get it your own way. And when you do have to defend and you scrap and you've just got to keep the game tight, Melbourne have now turned the corner. And I can't wait to chat to Alex Neil Bullen about that. Because it has been a work in progress all year. We've heard Goodwin talk about it, moments in games, game situations, what they do. And I'd love to ask him midway through that last quarter when the Hawks were coming, what did the D's do just to steady the ship?
The other side of the coin, Joey, Hawthorn out in straight sets. It doesn't happen all that often. Where to for the Hawks? Do you see them progressing forward next year and being a better team? Or is Hawthorn, do you think, do they need a recession, a regression in some way?
No, I think they're
at a crossroads.
I think they're on the right path. I think they're rebuilding as they're going along. I think that, let's be honest, no one really thought the Hawks were going to be a top four team.
Correct.
They probably, you know, outdid where we thought they rated. Now, they've just been beaten by two pretty good teams, Richmond and Melbourne, who I've just said are going to play in the grand final. So we might reflect on that and say, actually, the Hawks, you know, weren't that far off.
Batted above their average.
I think they've still got a lot of a nucleus of young players that are coming through. We trust Alistair Clarkson. They'll do more work at the trade free agency period. So they'll be around the mark. What do they need?
Yeah, what do they need more than anything?
They need more midfield depth. They need to get another quality midfielder. Now, whether it's a Chad Wingard, we're hearing names, or someone that they might pluck something out, maybe a Dylan Shield, who knows? But if they can get another quality midfielder to work with Mitchell and O'Meara and Isaac Smith, that'll be huge for the Hawks, because they missed O'Meara, no doubt, last night.
It'll be interesting what happens with their veterans, James Frawley, what happens with him, Jared Ruffett. The Hawks are saying he will go again. Sean Burgoyne had two quiet finals. Doesn't happen that often. Now, Joey, we are very fortunate to have a Melbourne hard nut on the line. He was very good again last night. He's been a pillar of this Demons midfield. So good morning to you, Alex Neil Bullen.
Morning, boys. How are we?
We are well, mate. Thanks so much for joining us. I imagine you would still be on cloud nine, mate. But tell us about the emotion and the feeling on the final siren last night. It's been a long time since Melbourne fans have had to cheer a preliminary final berth. Just take us into that spine-tingling moment when you heard the final siren.
Yeah, it was pretty special. It's more probably the emotion of the supporters that really brings a big smile to our faces at the end of the game. We're all about to come off the field down the race, and for about a minute there, all the supporters in the MCC and around the ground started chanting Melbourne over and over. So that was probably a moment that I'll look back on and be very proud of. And just to see some of the boys' faces in Neville Jetter and Jonesy just makes you realise how lucky we are to play for such a great club.
Well, the club was on its knees 5 years ago, but to see, as you said, the smiles and the emotion, some of the photos of the fans last night, tears rolling down their cheeks, there were incredible scenes. But take us in to the players' meeting. So you're sitting there with Simon Goodwin, it's 20 minutes after the final siren, and the coach says what to you, Alex?
Oh, he just reiterated how proud he is of this footy club and how the playing group, and just how important it is now to enjoy the moment, but look forward to another big challenge in West Coast. We understand that, you know, the finals footy is a week-by-week process, and we've still got another game to go before we get to the big dance. So, yeah, just look forward to what's ahead. Enjoy the moment, but really, really make sure we're doing all our recovery and go to another level in that side of things.
Now, onto the game last night, Alex, and congratulations. You're in control for most of the game, but in that last quarter, the Hawks got on a bit of a run. They were coming.
Yeah.
We've heard Simon Goodwin for a lot of the year talk about situational play, what you're trying to do in situations. Midway through that last quarter, when the Hawks were coming, what was the mentality of the playing group? How were you going to try and stop that momentum from the Hawks?
Yeah. For us, it was doing the basics well. So we've had a few experiences this year where we've lost tight games. And to be honest, they were the best things for us, for this footy group of players, to be able to learn from them. We had one with Geelong that started midway through the year where we had opportunities to save the game, but we didn't handle the moments well. And what it came down to us was our basics and what we do at the big times, the big moments. And we felt like we've gone away from that a little bit early on, and then we found a way just to control the game again. And obviously, with Jake Melksham's goal, kind of got the momentum back our way. And momentum's a big thing in footy, as you know, Lee. So as soon as that went through, we understood, all right, we have now control of this game, and it's just about controlling the footy. And if the ball's in front of you, just doing the basic things well. So another huge growing thing for our club last night, and we feel like that's going to hold up.
We're chatting to Alex Neil Bullen, mate. You're spot on there. And the other thing that stood out with this Melbourne team, particularly the second half of the season, has been just the selflessness and the evenness of the team. You're not relying on any one player anymore. And tell us a bit about your own role, because you've now become one of the best pressure players in the competition. We know you're a freak runner. Did that just evolve, or was that a specific challenge that Goody put to you about your role? And talk about the evenness and the selflessness of this team.
Yeah, so Goody's been great for my development coming into the system as an 18-year-old. playing a couple of games in my first couple of years. But the changeover of coaching roles with Roos and Goodwin, Goody sat me down and said, I see a position for you up forward. I really like you as a small forward because you bring a lot of pressure. You've got a high work rate. But I've got a lot of confidence in you if you're willing to do the work. And for me, as a 19, 20-year-old at the time, that gave me a lot of confidence, feeling a part of this group and feeling like I had a valued role in this team. So a lot of it does come down to work rate and your willingness to push yourself. But that's what I bring to the team. And like you said, Lee, there's a lot of different roles being played. And for us, we don't have to get 15, 20 touches a game. It's about if we're doing what we do in our role, which is my role in pressure and bringing that physicality, then the coaches are happy. So that's the best thing about this footy club at the moment. We understand each other's role, and if we do that well, we know the team will perform well.
Yeah, very well said, Alex. And our boy Charlie Spargo, Joe, we spoke to him last week.
He did. He played very well last night. We're claiming him.
I love what he does
Charlie,
in the forward line.
He's a beauty.
He's a star, mate. Alex, he's as tough as they come.
He's hard as a cat's head. Credit to you, Alex. Only 22 years of age. Played 58 games. Pick 40 in the draft. You ran 15.3 kilometres last night. 1 kilometre more than anyone else, including Isaac Smith, and we know what a thoroughbred he is, mate. So thanks so much for joining us this morning on Triple M's Dead Set Legends, mate. All the best next weekend for the trip to Perth. We get the feeling a whole of Melbourne's behind you.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Really appreciate it.
Alex. Well done, Alex.
Yeah, Alex Neil Bullen from Melbourne. He is an absolute workhorse, Joey, and great for him to join us this morning.
Joey and Jay-Z, Triple M's Dead Set Legends, with St Kilda great Lee Montagna and Triple M footies Jay Clark. The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday Scoreboard time. We just spoke to Alex Neil Bullen. What an impressive young man he is, Jay. Didn't he speak well? We could have spoken to him all morning.
Yep.
He was terrific. Just riding that cloud, so they should. They did a terrific job last night.
Joey, I love it when players say, they embrace the emotion. They say, yes, we got goosebumps. You know, yes, it was a spine-tingling moment. We walked off the ground. We looked at all the fans and they were cheering. And, like, I just love that emotion of footy.
I got the tingles as well because it just, yeah, I got brought back memories of when you are on the field and you look at the fans and to have that Melbourne chant, as he said, going on as they're walking off the ground.
Yep.
That is when you're the most proud as a player because you do it for those fans and particularly the Melbourne fans that have been through so much. The pride those players would have felt walking off the ground last night. Congratulations to them and all credit because they put up a terrific fight. They beat the Hawks by 33 points. They're through to their first preliminary final since 2000. And for Hawthorn, it's the second time in 3 years they have gone out in straight sets in the final. So I don't think it's all doom and gloom for the Hawks. They've got a lot of young talent there and they've got the best coach in the competition, but they'll bounce back. NRL also deep into the finals. Last night, the Cronulla Sharks in their semi-final defeated the Penrith Panthers in absolute beauty.
Ooh.
They were leading for a long way in the first half. Penrith came back and then a late field goal, penalty field goal, to get them over the line. Got the Sharks up by a point. So what happens now? Cronulla Sharks will now take on the Melbourne Storm in the preliminary final next Friday night at Amy Park. So that is going to be an absolute beauty next Friday night, our Melbourne Storm.
And Joey, great news in the Herald Sun today that Cameron Smith confirmed.
Signed on again.
He's playing on again next season. Not a more beloved player, really, in any sport in Melbourne. It's great that he's going on again.
Absolutely.
Good enough.
And NFL is underway week two. The Cincinnati Bengals played in the big Thursday night clash against the Baltimore Ravens and beat them 34-23.
Hey, yeah, we got some tickets to give away, Joey. Last weekend it was to the V8 Supercars. This weekend, or today I should say, it's VIP pit passes, including premium seats and meet and greets with the drivers. They are valued
meet and greet the drivers.
$189, these Monster Jam tickets starring the biggest performers on four wheels, of course. Monster Jam returns to Amy Park. Tickets from Tickets App. It is October 20, Joey. I am going to take my young bloke.
Can I take Noah, or is a bit too young,
mate? He's 4 months old.
Because I can't wait to take note. He's only 10 weeks old. Probably a bit early, but that's awesome. The Monster Jam, love it.
It is fun stuff. We have 5 double passes to give away. So it's 1-333-53. Ring through now for 1 of 5 double passes to the Monster Jam at Amy Park, October 20. Should be an absolute beauty, Joey. But I just want to touch on again last night's game, Simon Goodwin. As Alex Neil Bullen said before. Proud as punch, and the senior coach referenced the fans and how much of an inspirational force this Melbourne fan base is for the current team.
certainly think we're in the midst of our supporters really getting in behind our footy team and giving us great belief and inspiring us to new heights. You know, to have 90,000 here again tonight between the two clubs, I think it's the biggest crowd ever, including grand finals. But you can just see the MCC, you can see the joy that our supporters are getting from this journey. And they do, they inspire us. You know, they're like another player out there. So, we want to get them all over to Perth if we can. From what I hear, it's a 50-50 ticket split. So Virgin, put some flights on and enable our supporters to get over there.
So the fans are certainly cheering their days on. You think Melbourne are going to beat West Coast next week?
Well, they beat them only, 5 weeks ago over in Perth. That was the turning point of Melbourne's season. That was when that belief really sunk in that they could beat the top teams. They went over there and did a number on the Eagles, and there's no reason why they won't do it again.
And Goodwin said,
I think it's just a new game. You know, obviously we know the stadium, we know the team that we're playing against. It was 5 weeks ago, but we start again. We got 8 days to prepare ourselves. We'll have a pretty quiet weekend and then lead into a pretty normal week, you know, heading into the game on Saturday. So I think our preparation is going to be really important, but I think we'll be ready to go.
Would you have had a beer after last night's win, Joey? What's the protocol there? Big win?
No, not this deep into the finals. You know what? I think Max Gawn said it during the week. The beers will be there in about 3 weeks' time. They'll still be there. So just hold off. Do everything you can to get yourself right. Yep. The flight over, they've just got to make sure their bodies are cherry ripe.
It certainly will be big. And it is semi-final weekend. What a massive game tonight. Collingwood, Scotty Pendlebury and Nathan Buckley coming up against the might of the GWS Giants. One of the most talented lists ever assembled. It's going to be an absolute belter. And the Triple M boys will be all over it from 6 p.m. BT1, Kerry, Billy Brownless, Damien Barrett, of course, Narrowly Meadows, Rowan White, Ash Chua will give you the best call of tonight's game. That is for sure. Hey, Joey, I spent the past week spending a lot of time at Collingwood and trying to get the behind-the-scenes story of how this club basically turned itself around. Remember last year, you know, it was a broken footy club. It was on its knees. Scotty Pendlebury said there was so much tension and anxiety around Nathan Buckley's future, which went right through the playing group. But things turned at a Gold Coast camp mid-January. A lot of the board games, some beers came out, some card games. They were able to get some of that feeling back and a lot more positivity. Nick Maxwell played a huge role in that. We saw last night Simon Goodwin so emotional with his players, the hugs. There did seem to be a real connection. Now, from your experience at St Kilda, and you guys seem like such a tight-knit group, how important is that? And is it real or is it manufactured? Tell us about that camaraderie connection.
Yeah, I read your article in today's Herald Sun. It's a great article talking about that, just that bond and that camp and how they set out what they wanted to do as a team this year. But every club, for me, does that on these camps. Every club talks about having a bond and what they want to achieve and their behaviours and building a connection. But you can't manufacture it being genuine.
Yeah.
And that's what we see from the really good teams. Richmond, it became genuine. It became clear for everyone to see.
Yep.
It now feels like Melbourne and Collingwood have built this connection amongst the playing group and the coaching staff that is genuine. And for me, the only way you can do that, everybody can talk and you can say the right things. You can say what you want to do. You can talk about your backstories and try and build a bit of a connection on a personal level. But the only way on the football field it works for me is through your actions. That's how you build trust. It's through your actions and your behaviours on the field. You want to be able to walk up a race going onto the MCG in a big final and look to your left, look to your right and look at your teammates and just have this connection where you can look each other in the eye and you know what you're going to get from them. It's a trust that you can't manufacture. And we had that in that St Kilda team. You could go around and look at every single player and knew what you were going to get. And it's all because of what they did on the field with their actions. And that is where the trust it comes from. And we spoke to Alex Neil-Bullen about that selflessness and that evenness of the team. That is genuine. And we're now seeing it with the way Collingwood are playing their football. Richmond have been the standout for the last, you know, two seasons now. So it's really important. It's a great point because that is what you do. It's another level. Everyone can have game plans. And we heard Clarko talk about it.
Yep.
You can have tactics. You can have a game plan. You can have the best team on paper. But to go to another level, you need to have this genuine connection and a bond that you can't manufacture.
And for me, I think when the Bulldogs won in 2016, I think we all sort of spoke about a synergy. They had that, didn't they? And then Richmond, you said last year, it's clearly there from Melbourne, that esprit de corps phrase, which talks about or speaks to that sort of commitment. But tell us about your time at St Kilda. And when you had young players come into the club, to knit them into your team fabric, sort of how do you go about doing that? Yes, you spoke about trust on the field, but did Ross have any other of these sorts of activities or things you would do?
Yeah,
or?
So what, you know, everyone, I read the article about, you know, Collingwood went and had to get stories about past players or bring supporters into the club. I think Joffa came into the club.
Yep.
That's all about being vested in an interest in your football club. And we used to do things where Ross Lyon would make every first year player basically do an assignment on St Kilda's history.
Yeah.
Go and pick a topic, pick a subject, just to learn more about the history of these clubs.
Yeah.
Because like Melbourne, it is one of the grandest, oldest clubs in the competition that has so much history that the players need to feel that, because that all adds to this connection and this bond, not only for your teammates, but for the club.
Yeah.
You want to have that.
And it's real.
It's real because you play for more than just yourself when you put that club jumper on.
Yeah.
You play for the fans, the club, the past, everyone. We saw David Neitz last night every time Melbourne kicked the goal.
Was great,
he was going
it?
Nuts. Yeah. You're playing for all those ex-players that didn't get to taste what these players might. So other clubs do similar things and trying to, you know, learn about the history of clubs. And it is a great way to go about it. But as I said, the end of the day, it's what you do on the football field next to your teammate is where you build the most trust.
I love hearing that sort of stuff, Joey. 287 games, a great experience there and insight from your time at St Kilda. Just quickly, a controversial moment from last night. Tommy Mitchell quickly bumped Clayton Oliver. He went to ground, got the free kick. Did you like that or not? Was it a good look?
Yeah, no, good look. It's fine. It was done by Tom Mitchell and smart by Clayton Oliver. Reversed, they got a free kick. It wasn't a big blatant flop or a dive. He wasn't expecting the contact. He didn't brace and try and hit Mitchell back. It was silly by Mitchell. Nothing much in it. Silly free kick reversed.
Okay, play on, smart play by Oliver.
That was the journalist in you trying to create something. There was nothing in that. Shouldn't even be spoken
about.
Well,
I just like to shine a light on these sorts of things.
That was fine.
Coming up after 11, Joey, we've got Jason Richardson. This man, this is when he comes into his own.
Oh, this time of year.
In spring carnival. We'll get all the good oil in about 10 or 15 minutes' time, Joey. But you come in here, you're very happy with yourself.
We don't need Jason Richardson. What do we need the expert Jason Richardson for? Hey? Oh, the last 2 weeks, what more do the listeners want? I'm tipping them $6 winners. I've been on fire. I want to hear what Richo has to say. But let's take a listen back to last week because I'm getting a lot of love on social media at the moment. Joey's now tip for the day is going to go back-to-back. Race 9, number 3 today at Moonee Valley, Mossendale. Trained by Manny Galagotis and Peter Galagotis. It will win another $6 bet each way all day. Mossendale in the last race at Moonee Valley.
200 metres to go. Williams feels for the whip. Two lengths in front of Mossendale, Northwest Passage. They were followed next by Rising Red, but it's Zar Speed getting tired now. Mossendale coming out after it. Mossendale takes the lead and sprints away, and Mossendale won the last.
Look at you, that happy with your own work.
Did I refer to myself though as Joey? I think at the start I said Joey. I didn't realise.
It was your segment though, Joey's
tip. It was my
tips.
Joey's tip of the day. Yeah, okay.
No, well played. But hey, you're only as good as your next contest, Joey.
You're right. I'm feeling the pressure now to back it up again.
Back-to-back wins. I want a third straight winner. As we said, we've got Jason Richardson coming up in 10 minutes' time. We want his bet of the day because he is the man when it comes to Spring Carnival. And we have got more tickets to give away, Joey. We gave away the Monster Jam tickets. Now we've got more tickets to Caulfield Guineas and Caulfield Cup 133353. We'll do that after 11. Of course, October 13 and 20 will be there. It should be an absolute beauty.
Joey and Jay-Z, Triple M's Dead Set Legends, with St Kilda great Lee Montagna and Triple M footies Jay Clark.
Joey, I want to ask you about these very controversial rule changes which are coming in for next season. We think the competition committee giving them the rubber stamp. They now go to the executive, of course, the AFL commission. The longer goal square, the 666 starting positions, and potentially a mid-season trade period. It's the longer goal square for the moment which has caught my eye. What's your take and the changes on the game this may have?
Well, this is where we have to be careful. The changes with the longer 18-metre goal square will mean that goal kicking will become so much more important going forward.
Because
if you kick a point, you are basically giving the opposition the ball back halfway outside their defensive 50, and one kick, they can have the ball in their front half of the ground. So goal kicking accuracy is going to become even more important.
Miss.
You don't want to miss. Particularly if you're getting late in the game, you might be just in front. You're thinking, well, rather than conceding a behind and missing and giving the opposition the ball 18, 20 metres out from our goal where they can get it in their forward half, you might not even have a shot. You might play safe. You might almost see coaches now saying, if you're on the boundary line, we don't want you having a shot at goal and conceding a behind and giving the opposition the ball 20 out from our goal. We want you to try and find another mark. So I'm just concerned about what it will mean for teams' goal kicking, and also it might other teams might exploit it defensively and just concede accidentally a few more deliberate rush behinds without giving away the free kick. Mm. There's subtle ways you can do it. Give it, concede a point, because you'd rather have the ball 18 metres out from your defensive goals in the middle of the 50 than being held up in a back pocket where you're not going to get out. That's what teams want you to do now, be hemmed into the back pocket. You kick it long down the line and you get the ball back. Teams might find ways to exploit it, get a point, concede a point somehow, and then take the ball back in the middle of the 50.
What about the mid-season trade period, Joe? Are you for or against?
I'm okay for it. I think it's time to have some sort of mid-season trading. I think initially, maybe for the first couple of years, I think you just go to the state leagues. So if you need a ruckman or you need a key defender, let's say Collingwood short on a key defender, you can go to the state leagues and go and pick the best, you know, key defender. I think there was a kid, Sam Collins, that played VFL this year. Go and get them, which does two things. It increases these mature age players that are playing state league and rewards the best state league players. And it's a way of getting some players into your team if you need a specific role to fill at the moment. And then maybe it can evolve to trading players amongst clubs.
Yeah, I like that. I want that aspect of it, because you've got a player like Braden Pruce, a big ruckman at North Melbourne, can't get a game playing behind Toddy Goldstein. And then Geelong goes into a big final, plays fourth game ruckman Ryan Abbott. So maybe mid-season, the Cats say, right, we'll give you one of our fringe midfielders to North Melbourne, George Hall and Smith or whatever, for Braden Pruce. Oh, Braden Pruce. I would really like those clubs to get aggressive.
Yeah, so I can't see that happening, because Kangaroos wouldn't give away Braden Pruce mid-year, because what if Goldstein got injured the next week?
Yeah.
That's why you have backup ruckman and those things. So I think the state leagues, it rewards these players that are playing state league. We get more mature age players into the competition. Tim Kelly might have got picked up a year early by someone. They might have seen him playing in the Waffle last year and said, we need another midfielder. Let's get Tim Kelly to our club via the mid-season trade free agency period.
Very good point, Joey. Of course, a big day at Flemington, opening the new grandstand down there. You should see my good mate Lee Montagna that happy with his afternoon ahead. He's going to be behind glass. He's going to be picking winners left, right and centre. But we do have, speaking of picking winners, Jason Richardson.
Actually, I'm getting the no from our producer Rabs.
No, he's not with us at the moment. We'll keep trying Jason Richardson. Of course, Winks shooting 427 straight wins, I think, Joey. Is the dream going to continue, or do you think, how long can this continue for?
Oh, I think it'll continue for this spring campaign. I can't see her getting beaten again on her way to another Cox Plate victory, her fourth.
Yep.
I think, you know what I reckon, Richo? Jason Richardson's heard how I'm tipping all the winners.
Yes.
He heard, he thought, Joey's taking my second. He's tipping scared. All the winners. He's scared. He doesn't want to get online and have to try and compete, because he's the expert, you know, in the racing industry area. So maybe he's just got a little bit scared, or he's very busy out at Flemington. But I will be there this afternoon. As you said, the new grandstand is opening. It'd be nice to touch on that with Richo. A couple of Group 1 races. All the good horses are back that are going to lead into the big races later in the spring. The Caulfield Cup, the Cox Plate, the Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
So all these horses start their campaign. So the very best horses are going to be on display.
Who have you got your eye on? Which horses have caught your eye this spring, Joey?
Well, there is a horse that's running today, and it's called Kingswell Dream. And this horse is on track for the Caulfield Cup. It's the Caulfield Cup favourite.
Yep.
It's had two runs so far and been in blistering form. Today, I think it'll come out and win over 1,600 at Flemington, and it'll continue on, and it's already the Caulfield Cup favourite, but it'll stamp itself as the horse to beat in the Caulfield Cup.
So is this your bet of the day? Is this the one you're staking your reputation on? Are you going for a record-breaking third straight winner on this horse? Is this what we need to be highlighting right now?
I did want to build it up a bit longer, but it is today the tip of the day. I've spoken to some people. Yep. It's Kingswell Dream, race 7, number 10 at Flemington. The race is on at 4 o'clock. It's in the Group 1 Mackay Davis Stakes. Kingswell Dream, it's an up-and-coming star. It's going to probably win the Caulfield Cup, but on its way there, it'll win today over 1,600 metres at Flemington.
Joey.
Kingswell Dream, about $4.50. It's not the $6 it's been on offer for the others, but still back at each way.
Smart.
And you certainly will come out in front.
Rosie, I think if our good mate Joey here picks his third straight winner, he's not going to be able to fit through that doorway next Saturday, but we'll all be behind you, Joey. We love your red hot tipping.
Just like my knees and ankles, Jay.
Yes.
There's some creaks, groans, thuds, squeals, shudders and vibrations.
Yes.
They are common warning signs that something is wrong with your critical brakes, steering and suspensions. I think that's happening to my knees and ankles.
Yes, if your doctor's not telling you something, Joey, you car certainly is. So book a brake, steering and suspension check from Petters. Can you believe it, Joey, for only $28?
Cheaper than going to a physio.
Exactly right, mate. Visit petters.com.au. No bull. Hey, we are a giving lot here at Triple M. We've already given away some tickets to the Monster Jam session. That has been snapped up quick, smart. But I tell you what, Joey, we have got some exceptional tickets to the Caulfield Cup Carnival. 2 days of racing up for grabs. We've got 4 tickets to the Ladbrokes Caulfield Guineas Day and 4 tickets to Caulfield Cup Day, of course. Carlton Draft Brewery Fresh, the Caulfield Cup Carnival, the 13th to the 20th of October. Tickets at mrc.racing.com. Call 133353 right now.
And we will be there live. We'll be doing Dead Set Legends live from Caulfield both days, Caulfield Guineas and Caulfield Cup, so can't wait. So hopefully some people grab their tickets. They can come visit us when we're live on set. So
get one of your hot tips, Joey.
Yeah, I'll be giving out. I might give out a few more if the people come over and visit us live. We'll give out a few more tips.
We got 2 double passes to give away. Carlton Draft Brewery Fresh, of course. The Caulfield Cup Carnival always helps kick off a magnificent spring, 13th to the 20th of October. We've got some tickets to the Caulfield Cup Day and Caulfield Guineas Day. I can't wait. Tickets at mrc.racing.com should be absolutely magnificent. And unsurprisingly, the lines have absolutely lit up. And we have the king in the house, the greatest forwarder ever, basically, the King Wayne Carey. Good morning to you, Duck.
Good day, boys. Rosie. Well, I was going to say it's a lovely morning, but it's not. It's an absolute stinker this morning.
Did you get outside and do some exercise, or did you go indoors this morning?
All indoors this morning, but tried to get a little bit of exercise before I come in and speak to you, lovely gentlemen.
How do you go with your shoulders and your neck? You retired because of your neck, didn't you, Duck? But how is everything functioning these days?
Oh, well, it functions if I continue to function. So if I stop exercising, I just seize up. Couldn't get out of bed if I didn't exercise. So it keeps all the arthritis away. I know a lot of people out there suffer from arthritis, and the only true way to keep it away is to keep the joints and everything else moving. So that's what I try to do.
Keep active.
And I'm vain.
Well, there's that.
It makes me feel very bad.
Massive game of footy on tonight, of course. Collingwood up against the GWS Giants. Will this remarkable Collingwood year continue to roll on? Duck, before I ask you about the Magpies forward setup.
Yeah, I loved your article this morning, by the way.
Had a
good read of that.
You're taking the P155 here.
Behind the scenes at the Pies, and this is why the Pies have sort of re-emerged back into the finals and about to maybe go into a prelim.
Yep.
And
Nicky Maxwell is pretty stamp on things.
I can't believe you've put it down to Nick Maxwell introducing some card games and actually just getting some, I don't know, some staff and players together for a drink. I mean, this is mind-blowing stuff. All that the Crows have to do next year is just hire the Wiggles. Just bring a few games along and just everyone be happy with one another, and all of a sudden you'll be straight back into the finals. But in all seriousness, I'll tell you why Collingwood's back.
You tell us.
I'll tell you why. And I know you've got inside info with your bum buddy there with Pendles, and that's good inside info. But I think it's Nathan. Now, we talk about Nathan Buckley, and he's the most criticised man for I don't know how long, Joey. I mean, how he withstood what he went through a year ago. It was quite unbelievable. And he's come through the other end. But he's come through the other end with some pretty strong feedback from people within the club. So they've obviously had a big review. But
and what was that feedback?
I would say, well, that feedback was for him, like Hardwick the year before at Richmond, is to take more of a back seat and allow others to do their job. And what that did is that just took pressure off everyone, took pressure off the players. All of a sudden he wasn't as in their face. And he's become a better coach by not coaching as much as he was. Mm. And I think that's the sole and main reason, and probably, I don't know, a bit of blackjack every now and then.
That's what I said.
And a couple of beers with staff.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. It comes down to actions too on the field, doesn't it? And really, you get that trust with what you do on the football field. You can have a leadership guru that does all that fancy stuff, but really, you build it from what you do with your teammates on the field.
Yeah, and you just found with Bucks, like he was as a captain, and this isn't something that people don't know. It's common knowledge that, you know, even Bucks as a captain in his early years, he was so demanding on everyone and thought everyone had to be like him. And probably to a degree, that's how he was as a coach. And now that he's taken a step back, those players now, seem to be responding.
Relax a little
and,
bit.
Yeah, yeah, responding to him so much better. And you know, all that sort of scuttlebutt and rumour that you heard about players not necessarily getting on, you don't hear that anymore.
No.
You hear, there's a real feel for Bucks now. And and that's because he's taken a back seat and they're getting the rewards on the field for it.
They're on the same page for sure, Doug. What about Mason Cox, Jordy Degoe, Brody Majacek? Because they were beaten last weekend in Perth. Mm. They've got to play a big role for the Pies to have any chance of beating GWS tonight.
Yeah, they do. Look, Mason Cox, let's not forget, this is a he's had a remarkable year this year, and he had a quieter game on quality opposition last week.
Yeah.
I'd expect him, I don't expect him, given the conditions and what they're going to be, you don't expect him to take 8 marks or anything tonight, but expect him to be a little bit better in the way he gets to the fall of the ball. Got pushed under it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I reckon in the games where he hasn't marked it all that well, he's still been able to push the ball where he's wanted it to go.
And
he
wasn't,
and he wasn't even able to really do that. I do like Majacek. I think Majacek, he's just an old-fashioned footballer.
Yep.
You know, he just does the basics pretty well. He missed a couple that he should have kicked. So you do expect some improvement. It's a fascinating game, this one.
Tipping?
I'm tipping GWS. Ooh. I think that...
so are you, Joey.
Yeah, I am as well.
I just think they've had to fight to get there this year. I think I've been critical over the years of them because they are such a skillful young team and they do everything pretty. Well, they've actually learned to win ugly.
Yeah, they've grown up. I reckon they've matured. Yeah, they've grown up. Yeah. They now play. They can go to the trenches with anyone.
You know, I thought they were gone this year. Mm. I wrote them off, and then they went over to Adelaide. They won that game, and from that point on, they've been as good as anyone, and they've had as many injuries as anyone as well. So, to come through that all of that adversity and be sitting where they are, I think they're growing up, like you said, Joey, right in front of our eyes, and we might see just how much they've grown up tonight.
Credit to their leadership. Cal Ward, Leon Cameron, missing Josh Kelly tonight, of course, which is a blow.
Whitfield, given that he's played most of the year off half-back, him with a couple of players coming back, him pushing back up onto the wing and through the middle,
he sort of covers Kelly a little bit.
Zach Williams is now back who can play that half-back role.
I do watch a bit of your show too, Joey, so I probably got that from there.
the Fox loadout. The King won't carry. You'll be in great form with BT, of course, JB, Billy Brownless and Damien and Barrett from 12 o'clock.
We've got Styx Kernahan for the Mythbuster. And if Styx is involved, you know that's going to be an absolute classic. And we've got the Melbourne captain, Nath Jones, to have a chat about that magnificent win and then going over and seeing if they can beat Perth twice in, 5 weeks?
5 weeks.
Joey and JC, Triple M's Dead Set Legends with St Kilda great Lee Montagna and Triple M footies Jay Clark.
Now, we love the pick one segment, Joey, or certainly I do. That's where I try and ask you a real curly question. And today's, I think, is an absolute beauty. Who would you rather in your team tonight, Joey, in a cutthroat semi-final? GWS's Toby Green or Collingwood goal kicker and match winner Jordan Degoe?
Oh, a couple of scallywags too. A couple of lads.
Toby Green and Jordan Degoe. I'm not talking about after dark out at the pub. I'm talking about on the field. Who would you rather in your team?
Well, the way you've asked that question makes it hard for me because I'm a massive Jordan Degoe fan. Anyone that's been listening to me knows that I'm a big rap for Degoe. I think he's the type of player that's going to be one of the best in the comp.
Yep.
Powerful forward that can kick goals, but he's a midfield beast that can win clearances.
But
if you're asking about tonight, who I want tonight?
Yes.
Tonight, I want Toby Green. And the only reason I didn't say Jordan Degoe is because I would have contradicted myself when I explained why I think the Giants will beat Collingwood.
Right.
And both the Pies and Hawks will go out in straight sets, like I mentioned last week. And it is because the GWS selections, selection table, they brought in Lachie Keefe. Do you know what their plan is, what they're going to do?
Play on Coxie?
Lachie Keefe will play on Mason Cox.
Former teammate.
Nullify Cox's run and jump. We know how to play Cox. Nudge him under the footy. Don't let him fly. Conditions aren't going to really favour him anyway. But what that means is Phil Davis, who did an absolute number on Lance Franklin last week, I thought should have been in the All-Australian team. He's going to go to Jordan Degoe and quell his influence. Because
that's the matchup.
That's the matchup. Because I know the Giants coaching staff were worried about Jordan Degoe. That was the one they were like, who's the matchup? He's powerful. He's quick. Such a good forward. They weren't sure what to do. In the end, they've said, well, let's put our best defender, our captain. He towed up Buddy Frank last week. Let's put Phil Davis on Jordan Degoe. And for mine, that has tipped the favour in GWS's edge because Collingwood and GWS midfields are both equal, both super midfields.
Well, who has the edge there, do you think? Pendlebury, Treloar,
they'll break roughly even. Oh, yep. I think they're both as good as each other. They're both in the top three in the comp. But I'm just worried about Collingwood's lack of scoring power tonight because Cox, as you said, has been a bit out of form. I don't know what he'll do tonight. I think Phil Davis will keep Jordan Ngoi really quiet. And for mine, Collingwood need to go to kick four goals if they're to win because Mychek, as Duck said, he's been excellent, but it's his first year. Jaden Stevenson had a terrific season, but it's his first year as well. You can't really expect first-year players in a big final to do it for you. And then they've got, you know, Thomas and Hoskin Elliott, who have also had really good years. I'm just worried. I thought the Pies probably need four goals from Ngoi. They're not going to get it with Phil Davis on him, and that's why I think the Giants will win.
Interesting. You called the Collingwood out in straight sets.
Copped a bit on social media, yeah. I must say. A bit of feedback. A lot of Pies fans weren't happy. They all thought I was salty from 2010, and that's why I said, all about, oh, you're just still salty from 2010. You just don't like Collingwood. No, unfortunately, I thought West Coast had beat them last week, and unfortunately, I just think the Giants will win tonight.
What about?
I could be proven wrong, and then you can go for it.
I reckon you're a bit salty still, John. No, just what about the other end of the ground? Because Toby Green, he is the villain tonight. He's a bit cheeky.
The karate kid?
I personally like him. I think we've spoken, the kung fu kick. We've spoken a lot about sort of the Braden Maynard matchup because Braden Maynard, he's the Hawthorne mini Luke Hodge. He's got that hardness and that aggressiveness. Do you get in the face of Toby Green tonight or do you give him the silent treatment? In terms of the psychology, do you try and fire up these boys or does he get in his face? How do you play a player like Toby Green?
I reckon Toby Green, you get in his face. Yeah. I reckon he's still got that in him where he can lose a bit of focus, lose a bit of concentration. We know he's got history in the past with tribunals and getting... I would, if I was Braden Maynard and prepared to do it, and he's a fiery character,
start yapping.
I'd just get in his grill. I would. I'd yap him. I'd nudge him. I'd try and put Toby Green off his game.
Yep.
Now, that's what I would... Because I think there's still that little bit of Toby Green, that maturity. He's come a long way and he's a star, but I would try and get under his skin.
Yeah, and the kung fu kick. Did that get mentioned tonight?
No, it won't get mentioned.
As a defender, are you genuinely in the marking contest? Are you aware of that? Are you thinking that the boot could fly up in your face?
No, you're not. You just go and play. It'd be interesting to see the first time he does do it, what the umpire does, whether he pays a free kick or lets it go. Look, it's legal. So Toby Green's just doing what's in the rules. You're allowed to do it as long as you don't give away a free kick.
Yep.
And it sums up Toby Green's style. It's no hold bars. He doesn't care if he hurts anyone. He just wants to take the mark and win the game of footy. It's going to be an absolute cracker tonight. I can't wait to listen to the boys on Triple M. It's going to be an absolute beauty.
One thing you can guarantee on is as soon as Toby Green takes his first possession or his first mark tonight, the MCG.
Ooh. You reckon? Yeah, that might fire him up.
That will be their treatment. The call tonight from 6 on Triple M, BT, Wayne Carey, Billy Brown, the Stamian Barrett, Neroli Meadows, Rowan White, Ash Chua. It is the best team in the business, of course, covering that massive semi-final tonight. Collingwood versus GWS.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
You take the new ball, Joey.
Well, give me a spell today, this week. A former AFL player, I played a lot against him. He's doing some pretty good things in the media. But Kane Corns,
yes,
potting Geelong boys for dressing up and St Kilda players for dressing up for their Wacky Wednesday celebrations. Give me a spell. He tried to imply that by organising your costumes a few weeks ago, it's taken your mind off football.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, he should know. He played 15, 16 years. That you're not thinking about football 24-7. You're allowed to have some downtime to be able to have other hobbies, to organise your costumes. They didn't necessarily go, oh, we're going to lose this week so we can have our costume ready. They had to plan it, whether they won the grand final or whether they missed the finals. They looked awesome. How good do the Geelong boys do it?
They thought they were terrific.
They've got every right, like everyone at their Christmas parties, lets their hair down and has a good time. The players... It's their Christmas party time. It doesn't affect your preparation for your game, for your finals in particular. Kane Corns should know better. I'm sure some of his teammates were planning their end of season celebrations while they were still playing footy. Give me a spell, Kane Corns.
Even if they had a really poor year like the Saints, you don't think it sends the wrong message at all?
Oh,
well, I mean, the Cats made the finals. The Saints sort of...
Sends the wrong message. So, but what message is it sending?
Or be, maybe they don't care or they're not hurting or something like that.
Oh, just like Bernie Vince smiled after a loss. Bernie Vince didn't care either. We're the world of outrage. Yeah, Bernie Vince didn't care about losing because he smiled. Like, come on, everyone, give me a spell.
That's fair enough. Hey, my give me a spell is to the critics of the AFL's grand final entertainment. Now, call me old hat. Say that I'm stuck back in the 2000s. But the Black Eyed Peas, I remember doing some of my best work on the dance floor of the Black Eyed Peas.
That's a good get.
Let's keep running, running, and running. It's absolute gold. Rosie doesn't like it when I sing like that.
And Jimmy Barnes.
And Jimmy Barnes. So you've got the both bases covered. You've got the classic Australian rock, Joey, and you've got sort of more the up vibe dance mood.
What would it sound like if they played together?
Well, let's have a listen.
Oh, 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 he's a working class man.
Willie Rolston, of course, from Triple M, has made the mashup. And, well, if it's something like that, but it'd be okay. But I like the black. Well done to Gil and the AFL team. Black Eyed Peas and Jimmy Barnes. Rosie, give me a spell this week.
Spring. I've had a full-blown head cold for 3 days of this week. And now I've got hay fever. Give me a spell. Yeah. Spring.
Time for the Telfast.
Like your flowers, but yeah, thank you.
That squally, that wind, no that good. Hay fever, it's no good.
Well, let's finish on a positive note. Yep. Rosie?
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend!
Dead Set Legend of the Week. And
probably
it's going
yourself,
to one of our very... No, not this week. But it's going to one of our very own, Aaron Finch.
Oh, yes.
Colac, Victorian, our boy at Triple M. Yep. Aaron Finch finally is going to make his test debut for Australia. He's going to open the batting. He's going to make 100 on debut. It's well-deserved. 31 years old. He's been a superstar of the white ball for a long time. Our Dead Set Legend of the Week goes to Aaron Finch to play his first test match for Australia. Well done,
well
mate.
Said, Joey. And recapping your tip, going for three straight winners. What do you got for
this
the punters
week
out
for
there
the punters
today?
Out there? Race 7, the Mackaybee Divas Stakes. Race 7, number 10, King's Will Dream. We'll bring it home for the punters.
Can't lose. Stick around on Triple M. We've got the best preview in the business. The Saturday Rub, JB, BT, Wayne Carey, Billy Brownless, Damian Barrett with all the AFL news. We'll catch you next week on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
This has been Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Catch up anytime on the Triple M app. Pedder's new world-first vehicle weight matrix software. Know your weight at pedders.com.au.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
And it was a great week, wasn't it, Joey?
I liked it. I did like my own work this morning.
That was good.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Listener app.